This is KGPR Great Falls at 89.9 FM, public radio for North Central Montana. I am Matt Donnelly, and here in the studio with me is renowned violinist for both the Great Falls Symphony and the Cascade Quartet, Megan Carls. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Matt?
Excellent. And this community has plenty of rock stars, but the rock stars we're talking about will come in the form of a string quartet. Can you tell us what it's all about?
Absolutely. We are kicking off the 22-23 Great Falls Symphony season this weekend with the Cascade Quartet performing a program called Rockstars. And you can catch it on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the United Congregational Church.
Awesome. And I've heard that two of the pieces were done by world-renowned film composers.
Yeah, film composers and rock stars and classical music composers. We are excited to be performing both works by Johnny Greenwood, who is perhaps best known for being the lead guitarist in Radiohead, and also a work by Bryce Dessner, who's a guitarist with the band The National.
Ooh.
You may not have known that they also wrote classical music.
Wow. And can you tell us what the first piece that's going to be performed?
Yeah, this is Bryce Dessner's piece. It's called Ahem, which is Yiddish for homeward. And he dedicates it to his grandmother, who fled during World War II. And the piece is, it's a bunch of power chords, actually,
wow,
at the beginning. And it's high intensity and repetitive, kind of like a jet engine almost. I mean, It really comes out with a bang. And so we think it is the best way to start the symphony season with a lot of energy. And he describes it as almost being like a flight, like a travel. And he imagines his grandmother's travel during that time. And so it's a really powerful and intimate piece. And it's also very high energy. And you hear his, you know, rock and roll background that mm-hmm. he plays with in The National.
So basically, with the accelerations within the chords, that's basically kind of the travel experience that he has dealt with.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And it's actually a form that existed way back in the Baroque era, which is what we call a ground bass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more or less the same handful of chords in the same order, repeated over and over again for 10 minutes, but he varies them with different kinds of accompaniment, different melodic activities on top of those chords to give you almost a sense of timelessness and suspension.
Wow. So just so there's a little bit of probably what we'll hear here in a bit is perhaps some minimalism in there. Like there's a hint of Philip Glass, you know, as far as the repetitive chords and what have you.
Absolutely. It's a lot. You know, I think Philip Glass opened the door to combine what we're accustomed to in pop music, which is a lot of repetition and a lot of the same. You could have a great pop song with only two or three chords in it. And I think after Philip Glass began writing in his style, it opened the door for a lot more classical composers to see what they could do with that economy of means, of just a few chords. And so this is a very contemporary take on minimalism, I would say.
Awesome. And here is a piece by Bryce Dessner entitled
Ahem.
Ahem. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is KGPR Great Falls at 89.9 FM. My name is Matt Donnelly, and here in the studio with me is renowned violinist for both the Great Falls Symphony and the Cascade Quartet, Megan Carles. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
That was quite a piece that by Bryce Dessner. You can definitely hear the Philip Glass influences in there as well, and also like what you talked about with the power chords.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I ever heard that piece, it blew my mind. I have been dreaming of this particular program that we're doing this weekend for years, and I've always wanted to play that Dessner piece with the quartet, so I'm so excited for this weekend.
And Bryce Dessner is, not only is he a composer in his own right, but he's also into film music, and he's done, even after or during when he was with the National, he did such films as the Two Popes and additional music for The Revenant, as well as this upcoming, there's also an upcoming movie by the same guy that did Birdman, but he's worked with a lot of Oscar nominated or Oscar winning films, and that's how we both kind of got to know him, other than besides what the piece we heard today and also with the National.
Yeah, what a genius across so many mediums. It's really remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Which ties it in with Greenwood, because Greenwood is also getting a lot of accolades for his film scores, and that's the next composer that will be performing on this program. Johnny Greenwood, best known as the lead guitar player in my favorite band on the planet, Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was introduced to his music outside of his work with Radiohead through the film There Will Be Blood, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson, Daniel Day-Lewis film. And I loved it because he incorporated existing compositions like Arvo Pärt's Fratres, which is a real masterwork in the minimalist literature. But he also wrote a lot of original music for that film score as well. And the movie itself is the tale of sort of unbridled ambition from a young oil prospector in the American West. And so Greenwood's music not only shows the dark side of that greed in humanity, but also captures the wide open expanse of what the American West was like 150 years ago or 130 years ago as the film goes on. And what the Big Sky Country sounds like.
Amazing. And here is a piece by Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead fame with a suite from the film There Will Be Blood. Let's listen in. Thank you. Yeah, you can definitely hear the Radiohead influences within Johnny Greenwood's music. I mean, this is fascinating. And, of course, he's now a two-time Oscar nominee in the original score department.
Yeah, another genius across a lot of mediums. He actually grew up going to conservatory as a violist.
Wow.
Many people may not know that, which obviously poised him well for worldwide rock star fame. That's a viola joke. But no, seriously, he has a background in string writing and string playing, and so he really knows what he's doing in that department. He knows what the instruments can do well. And that first movement that we heard, we were rehearsing it today in the quartet, and I was thinking about how it reminds me of a track out of Kid A, one of Radiohead's albums from the early 2000s, in the way that he layers different rhythms on top of each other, like a five pattern over a six pattern over a four pattern.
Wow.
So each voice is independent, but it's almost like they're just breathing at slightly different rates or something.
And I understand that Johnny Greenwood also has played the theremin and even brought that kind of back into prominence. And he's played like a lot of different instruments you don't hear anymore, like the Hans Martineau or the theremin. And pretty much what he inserted in both as a solo artist and when he was with Radiohead and, of course, with his film scores.
I think you make a really good point. And what's interesting to me about that is the theremin is like one of the first electronic musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about, I mean, I'm a Radiohead junkie, but when you think about their progression of their albums from like Pablo Honey and the early stuff, the Bends, and then as it got more and more electronic, until you think about OK Computer and then some of the stuff that came out after that, more and more incorporation of electronics into the band, it kind of makes sense that he would write concert music, classical music, that incorporates these early electronic instruments as well.
Hmm. And as I recall, he also released an album where he incorporated his music with Krzysztof Penderecki. It was some of his avant-garde music with the Trinity for the Victims of Hiroshima.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think so often in classical music, we talk about how do we make these 200-year-old pieces relevant?
Mm.
Of course, we still believe that they're powerful. We still believe that they're beautiful, and it's important to hear them and to play them. But I think when you take someone like Greenwood or Dessner, someone who does have that like worldwide rock star fandom, and they open up about how their influences are 20th century composers that for 95% of the world are obscure, like Penderecki or Messiaen, who was another influence for mm-hmm. Greenwood. It shows the world that the divisions of genre are, I mean, I believe that they're non-existent, really. Great music is great music. And I think it's wonderful to see something like that project with the Penderecki piece bring the two worlds of like hard rock and classical music together. I don't think that they ever needed to be apart.
Interesting. It's kind of like an interesting analogy of how these two can mesh together.
Yeah.
Of how much classical music has borderlined rock music, or even, of course, it's borderlined almost everything, jazz music and a little bit of this blues and what have you.
Yeah. You know, and I think actually you could go all the way back to the Beatles and how they were influenced by Karl Heinz Stockhausen in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
who was way out there at the time. And it was right before they did their Sgt. Pepper's album, which was a major departure for them too. And so I think, although mainstream listeners may not have any familiarity with Messiaen and Penderecki and Stockhausen, the fact that they're musical heroes like the Beatles and Radiohead do look up to these composers, I think it says a lot.
So I know that they do a lot of experimentalism, especially in terms of using tapes as well as sound manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, these composers were the first to do that, and it's neat to see those tricks cross genres into rock music.
And what is this? What is the name of this concert again for those who have just tuned in? And do you have any information about
absolutely
this first concert of the season for the Cascade Quartet?
Yeah, this is the very beginning of the symphony season. We have a Cascade Quartet concert at the United Congregational Church in Great Falls, Sunday, September 18th at 2 p.m. And you can just get tickets at the door, or you can go to gfsymphony.org and reserve.
Awesome. And last but not least, we have another composer on the list of what's going to be played at Rockstars. And even though he's not a film composer, but his music was used in a lot of film, and it's probably the most famous Norwegian composer of all time, Edvard Grieg.
Absolutely. You know, most people, when they think about Edvard Grieg, they think about two of his most famous tunes that, you're right, were used in a lot of TV and film. In the Hall of the Mountain King. Yes. Anytime a Looney Tunes character was up to no good, that was a frequent appearance, as was another movement from that same suite. It's called Morning Mood is the translation. And so he's known for writing these beautiful, catchy melodies. That a lot of us might associate with our childhood, actually. But this string quartet is the only one that he published. And it is absolutely meaty and gritty and has that same power chord kind of vibe that the Dessner has from the beginning of the program. It comes out swinging.
Can you explain more about the string quartet that's going to be played, and why has it a significant impact on both the Dessner and the Greenwood pieces?
Well, we thought it was a perfect pairing, because I remember the last time that the Cascade Quartet did this particular string quartet, it was about 10 years ago, and our violist at the time, Madison Johnson, she was just offhandedly said, yeah, this Grieg, it is the heavy metal of the whole string quartet literature. And, you know, part of that is, again, like the repetition of finding a chord and just like digging into it for a while. Another thing is the way that he wrote with a lot of double stops and chords. And that's where we play more than one string of our instrument at a time simultaneously. And so instead of having four notes in the string quartet playing simultaneously, if we all play double stops, then you have eight. And so he describes his goal with this piece was to have a fullness and a richness of sound. This is all pre the days of amplification.
Wow.
So he couldn't have had an electric string quartet play through amps. His way of creating the biggest, most resonant sound from the string quartet was this double stop writing, and he uses it throughout a lot of the piece, especially in the first movement, to just give it heft and body.
And here's a movement from the Grieg string quartet in G minor, opus 27. Let's listen in. Thank you. As Grieg once said, he said that, I reckon my music has a taste of codfish in it. What he actually said at one time about one of his music, you know, with the Norwegian influences that he puts in the music from folk music and other things in relation to Norway.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because the movement that we just listened to is called the Intermezzo. It's the third movement.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trio of it, that is the contrasting section about a third of a way through, we hear a fiddle tune that was common for the what's called Hardanger fiddle, which mm-hmm. is the traditional fiddle in Norway. And it's so cool because it has the four strings on the top, but it also has four strings that are threaded underneath. So it's different from a regular violin that we know of in our culture, where you place the bow on the string and that's what creates the vibration, creates the sound. With the Norwegian Hardanger fiddle, you place the bow on one of the top strings.
Wow.
and you create the vibrations that way, but mm-hmm. then there's a sympathetic vibration of the underlying strings. So it has a ring and a resonance to it that is actually not even scientifically equivalent in our modern fiddles in the West. So that tune in the middle of the intermezzo is absolutely like that piece of codfish that you mentioned, that moment of like specifically Norwegian mm-hmm. folk character.
Amazing. And once again, what's the name of this concert?
This concert is called Rock Stars because every one of these pieces we feel is rock and roll. We've got two composers who are actual world-renowned rock stars living today, Bryce Dessner and Johnny Greenwood, and then the rock star of the string quartet literature, Edvard Grieg.
And once again, where is this going to be located?
Come to the concert on Sunday at 2 p.m., September 18th, at the United Congregational Church in Great Falls.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun, especially a great start to this Chamber Series concert.
We could not be more excited.
And do you have any additional information about this, like such as will this be taped for those who have missed the concert?
It may be recorded, but I think your best bet is to try to make it in person. And you can always go to gfsymphony.org for more information and to reserve your tickets.
And do you have any closing thoughts?
Just that we are so excited for another great, great fall symphony season, both the Chamber Series and the symphony. And you might be interested if you get a chance on a Friday night to come out to one of the Chamber Series concerts. We'll be doing Chinook Winds and Cascade Quartet concerts at the Newbury on Friday night. So if you haven't had a chance to check out that venue, or you've been there and you loved it and you want to come back, or you just want to have a glass of wine with your string quartet concert, the Friday nights at the Newbury are a great option for you. Check it out at gfsymphony.org.
Awesome. And again, my name is Matt Donnelly, and here in the studio with me is renowned violinist for both the Great Falls Symphony and the Cascade Quartet, Megan Carls. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.